Money FM 89.3, best of prime time. Mind Your Business with Howie Lim, only on Money FM 89.3.
This is Prime Time on Money FM 89.3. As COVID-19 forces students and employees to learn and train from home, Checkpoint Research finds vulnerabilities in the most widely used plugins powering online learning for top academic institutions and even Fortune 500 companies. Security researchers at Checkpoint identified security flaws in the Learning Management Systems, or LMS, a popular platform to conduct virtual classes without having students or employees come into a physical classroom. They discovered the security flaws in the three marquee WordPress plugins named LearnPress, LearnDash, and Lifter LMS. Vulnerabilities, rather, enable students as well as unauthenticated users to steal personal information, siphon money, and or attain teacher privileges. We're checking in with Tony Jarvis, Chief Technology Officer, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies, to get his insights and advice. Tony, lovely to speak to you again.
Yes, and likewise. Thank you very much for having me.
But you're sort of the grim reaper of security. Every time we speak to you, it's not so great news. Yeah, security flaws that you've discovered. Talk to us about them.
Yeah, so essentially our researchers have discovered flaws in three what we call WordPress plugins, which in this case means tools that websites use to deliver online training functionality. And we're talking about systems here that are installed on more than 100,000 different educational platforms. They're used by universities and online academies. So if we're looking at who the users are, we're seeing students. A lot of companies now are using these systems to train their internal staff. And then with everybody in lockdown working from home, people are looking to, you know, upskill, and we're seeing professional users using them too. So at the end of the day, these flaws open up a number of possibilities. We can talk about them in more detail, but essentially it's giving attackers access to the inside workings of these systems and all the information that's part of that.
Here's the thing, though. Virtual classrooms and e-learning not likely to contain, say, sensitive material, say, in a financial institution or a regular business. Why is this important?
Well, attackers will always target places with the most users because for them, it represents the biggest number of potential victims. So in this case, there's a number of things they could do. They can get access to personal information and use that to commit identity fraud. Mm. That's one option. They could get usernames and passwords and then go and see what other accounts that will actually open up access to them for if people are using the same passwords. And there's a lot of these learning systems involving payment. So they can interfere with the transfer of funds, and there's potentially a financial motive. But the other one here, which is really interesting, is extortion, and this is a growing trend. So if somebody can get access to people's academic records, they can effectively blackmail an individual or the organization running this learning to make a payment in exchange for them not releasing that information to the public. There's a number of things we can be looking at here.
But I imagine if your grades were good, you might not be so bothered.
Joke. The other side of it is that they could log in and change grades. And that's one of the things they can do.
That's terrible. So let's talk about then whose responsibility it should be. Should it be WordPress per se who is providing these solutions? Should it be the educational institution that is allowing their students to be virtual these days? Should it be the organization that's allowing its employees to learn and train from home?
Yeah, so we can look at it from a number of different perspectives. If we're talking about these institutions, they need to have people appointed to security positions who are responsible for maintaining security over the internal resources. And that also includes any third-party services that they're using. So in the industry, we refer to this as one of the basics of security, even though it can be a bit challenging. But understanding all the systems being used and the vulnerabilities affecting them is part of a best practice approach to security. But there's the individuals as well, the people using these systems. Now, they don't have any power over the components in what we call the back end of these websites, the services that make it all work. So they really need to follow the golden rules, which are having all your applications updated and patched, never using the same passwords, using multi-factor authentication if you can, and of course, using up-to-date current security software running on your laptops and your phones.
So the solution providers like WordPress and those learning management system providers, can they do something perhaps?
Well, they can. They're under the guidance of different bits and pieces plugging in and bolting onto their system, but they don't have an awful lot of control. So really, we talk about security being everybody's responsibility, and that's very true. Everybody has a role to play. The developers of all of these individual components, if there are vulnerabilities identified, researchers such as our own Checkpoint researchers have approached them and let them know, you know, there is a fault here. You should probably go and fix that. And this is part of the community approach to fixing these security holes.
What other sorts of security and privacy vulnerabilities came to light from the researchers at Checkpoint, Tony?
Well, there's a number of things we found. So people who are taking advantage of these vulnerabilities can steal personal information. They can get hold of names, email addresses, even usernames and passwords. They can go and change grades. So if it's for themselves, they could make their grade better. Mm. If it's for someone doing the course maybe they don't like, they can actually make the grade worse. So they can retrieve answers to tests. And effectively get same level of access or privileges as a teacher running that course. So they've got access to all of that functionality and information.
Do you think, though, let's say when all of this is over and perhaps more go back to school, more go back to work, that maybe they'll stop targeting these actors, these virtual environments?
No, for a number of reasons, and I hate to be the bearer of bad news, but a lot of companies have said that they don't intend to return their entire workforce to the office. We're going to see a mix of some work from home and some people physically in the office in the foreseeable future. We've heard a number of interesting announcements. Facebook and Google have both said all of their staff can work from home until the end of the year.
Yeah.
Twitter, I think today, has announced that, you know, forever, they never need to come back to the office. But more than that, attackers will use a number of techniques and choose whichever one works best for them, depending on what it is they're trying to do, who they're going after and why. So this just becomes, at the end of the day, another tool at their disposal. And it could be something as simple as getting someone's login details and then using that to compromise another account or service that they have. And that could be their online banking. So there's so much potential for the attackers, unfortunately.
We're speaking with Tony Jarvis, Chief Technology Officer for Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Here's the thing, though, Tony. The education sector has always kind of lagged behind others in terms of maturity of their cybersecurity risk management practices. What sort of precautions do they need to put in now?
Yes, so really what they need to be doing is assessing what systems they're accessing or they have any control over. And if it's systems they're using but they don't control themselves, that means they're dealing with third parties. Mm. And we've seen so many cases in the past where a risk or a vulnerability to an individual organization is not because of something that organization has done wrong. It's just because they've opened up access to their systems to what they call a trusted third party, and that third party has some sort of vulnerability. So they really do need to be watching very carefully in terms of people that are using their infrastructure and have access, and working closely with them to keep on top of any vulnerabilities and make sure they're identified and remediated.
And of course, for individuals, those same pieces of advice, yeah, not the same password for everything, make it complicated and complex, your password, etc.
Absolutely. So we're talking about the basics, and we say this a number of times, and we keep saying because it's so important and it's so effective, and if users can get these few things right, then all of the other things that follow up, you've been breached and what do we do now, we potentially don't need to worry about that. So we really do stress prevention over, you know, it's better to prevent it than to try to fix it after it's happened.
So even if online learning, say, reduced some post-COVID, this still should be looked into.
Yeah, definitely, very much so. We've discussed how online learning isn't really reducing all that much. If anything, it's potentially growing. Mm. But we need to collectively be taking security seriously and responding to issues such as these as soon as they're identified. We see so many cases of breaches which have used vulnerabilities years old, sometimes a decade old, or they've used individuals' passwords, usernames and passwords from previous breaches happened 2, 3, 4 years ago, and those passwords were still not changed.
What?
So there's a saying in the industry, which is the internet never forgets. And all these historical vulnerabilities add up, and they can potentially be used at any time in the future unless they're resolved. So that's why it's so important to have your security software running, make sure that your laptops, your mobile devices, they're all protected, because sometimes we're accessing services that may be vulnerable and we just don't know those vulnerabilities exist yet. So we need that level of security.
Folks over at the Checkpoint Software Technologies, Tony, where you're CTO, are you guys seeing trends in where else hackers might target next?
Yeah, absolutely. So with everybody working from home, we have seen changes in tactics and what they're doing. We're seeing a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of malicious websites being set up to look like information about coronavirus updates and how many infected numbers. A lot of those websites, just by the simple act of visiting them, you can actually have your machine infected. We're seeing a lot of emails being sent out and received, and they pretend to be from organizations like the World Health Organization with potentially useful information. And then by people clicking on links and opening those documents, it triggers a sequence of events which actually starts an infection occurring. So unfortunately, we are urging people to be very suspicious, especially from people they've never encountered, they don't know. If you see emails like that, definitely think twice and don't jump into a knee-jerk reaction of clicking on links and opening things that are sent to you by email.
So email, sure, just delete it if it's not from someone you know, but inadvertently heading to a website that's malicious, how can we avoid that?
So what we advise is just say you want to keep tabs on the number of coronavirus infections in your country, as an example. You could respond to something you see from a web search or on a page and it's got a link and it says click here, or maybe you receive an SMS or whatever. Or you could go to your trusted sources, and your trusted sources would be who looks after the news in your part of the world, who are the names you trust, and you would go to their official websites and look at what information or resources they have to offer. That's certainly what I do. That's what I advise my clients to be doing too.
Tony Jarvis, Chief Technology Officer, Asia Pacific at Checkpoint Software Technologies. Always a pleasure, Tony. Thanks for your time.
Likewise. Thank you so much.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.